Thank you, Pastor Dean. How many of you were raised in a Christian home? Would you raise your hand if you were raised in a Christian home? All right, excellent. That's wonderful. How many of you in your home growing up, your family had a time where that you would read the Bible, pray together, sing songs together in your home? Did that occur? Excellent. How many of you was that a daily event? That was something that you did every single day. Would you raise your hand? All right, very good, very good. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, we're going to go to chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Tonight, I'm going to talk about family devotions. And if you'd allow me to add one more word to that title, I'm going to call it memorable family devotions. For those of you who remember that time when you would read the Bible, pray, sing, how many of you remember a particular night or particular day or a particular time where it was very memorable? It really stuck out. Maybe something growing up that your parents did that particular day, that time was very special. Anybody at all have a memory like that growing up? All right, there's a couple of you. Very good. Anyone here accept Christ? You came to faith in Christ as a part of your daily devotions with your parents. All right, so we have one, two. Very good. Excellent. Actually, all three of our kids basically got saved as a part of our family devotions. And so for me, I have always felt that this is one of the keys to a godly Christian home. Even the song that we sung just a few moments ago, it talked about reading God's word, singing together, praying together. And there's something to be said for this very important event in our lives, and I want to encourage all of you to really seriously consider doing this. And I'm going to talk about several things today. Some of you perhaps are looking at me and saying, "Brother Bill, we don't have little kids anymore." Hold on. We're not finished yet. I've got some ideas. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." We're in Deuteronomy 6:6 now. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Now keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 6. Turn over, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Verses 16 and 17 are, of course, much better known verses. But I'd like to draw your attention to 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray that you would use this time together that we have, that would be an encouragement to all of us, Lord. Help us to recognize the importance of gathering as a family to study and to read your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, no matter what our stage in life is, that we would be faithful to read and study God's word. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to learn from your word some important principles that will help to guide us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of God's commands to parents is that we should teach our children about God's word. I am so grateful that I had grandparents that taught my parents about God's Word. I'm so grateful that I had parents. Both sides of my family were Christians. As a matter of fact, on one side of my family, I think we traced it back 8 generations. Wow. 8 generations back, one of my great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers was a preacher. And my grandfather on my mom's side was a preacher. My dad was a preacher. My uncles and aunts were all preachers and missionaries. So I grew up not just in a Christian home, but I mean, I was like surrounded by all of my cousins were Christians. All of my second cousins were Christians. I mean, we were, you know, the family in the church. When we have family day, all right, so our church in Texas has family day, and it's the family that has the largest number of family members in the service, okay? We have 30 people there every Sunday, not even trying, okay? So my mom loves winning family day. The award normally is a $100 gift certificate, you know, that you can use to go out to eat. Anyway, you know, she's always like, yes, I won again, 20th year in a row. I'm like, Mom, please don't raise your hand this time, you know. Let somebody else win. I mean, these people, you know, they try to get their nieces and nephews and children to drive in all the way from Tennessee. And, you know, and they're like, they got 14 people. Yay, maybe we'll win. And we're like, hey, we got 30. And anyway, it's something else. But one of the things that as I asked my grandfather, as I began in ministry, I said, Papaw, that's what I call him, what do you think is the key to Christian homes and the children continuing in the things of the Lord? He didn't even pause. He said, family devotions. He said, absolutely. He said, you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if that's all the children get, they're not going to stay in church. Because this is, of course, a learning place, but the place where we're supposed to put it into practice is in our homes. Okay? Homework is much more than the classwork as far as church is concerned. See, we come here to church, we might spend, what, a total of 4-5 hours a week at this place? How many hours do we have in the week? Somebody who's good at math, tell me what 7 times 24 is. 168. So you've got 163 hours at home and 5 hours at church, and you think that those 5 hours at church are going to draw those kids to the Lord and they're going to be faithful for the rest of their life. I would submit to you that what happens in those 163 hours a week is also super important. And unless we intentionally teach our children about the things of the Lord, then they're not going to learn them. We have to be methodical. We have to be intentional. And so as I was praying about what God would have me preach tonight, I really believe that God wants us to look at this passage here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, because this is God helping Israel to kind of make some decisions as to how they collectively can follow in the things of the Lord. I'd like for you to look at just a few things here. In verse number 5, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And you might say, well, exactly how do we know if we love God? Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I want you to notice that it does not say should be in thine heart. See, the result of loving God is that the word of God shall be in your heart. When you love someone, you talk about them. True. If you don't love someone, you probably don't talk about them too much. You will be able to tell after a few days of being around someone who's married what their relationship with their spouse is like. Because if they keep on talking about the wonderful things that they do, oh my, I mean, you know, you're going to hear. It's going to happen. You're going to say, wow, you know, that person is really blessed. I would like to show you something, all right? This is not to boast, just because I think you need to know this. This is the kind of thing I face often at home.
Right.
I mean, God's been good.
Amen.
You know, I have a wife that knows how to bake. Those are homemade chocolate chip cookies. I don't know if you can tell, Elsie. See, look at those. Don't those look good? Yeah. Those are semi-sweet chocolate chips, by the way. Yeah, poor Elsie. She made me some chocolate chip cookies the other night. And she didn't think she had semi-sweet chocolate chip. So she made them with dark chocolate. And my wife's like, oh, yes, this is wonderful. So I've been giving her a hard time ever since. My wife also makes brownies. This is a German chocolate brownie. All right? She makes it with a dark chocolate candy bar that we get from Germany. We buy it in Mongolia. We actually have 8 of these candy bars from Mongolia at our house right now, okay? So she's able to make them anytime she'd like to show her husband she loves him. Just saying. And last year we had them at one point, I think. And it's wonderful, you know? When you love somebody, other people know that. They can tell. You know, I mean, I could come here and maybe for a couple of hours I could trick you into thinking that I like her. But if we're just like, you know, at each other, you'll notice within a few days, you're like, ah, those two aren't getting along very good, are they? You see, the thing is, same thing's true with our relationship with God. Yeah. I was talking with my wife about that this morning because I'm going to be honest with you. When we're at home, we are very, very consistent in our family devotions. Our daughter's there. Before we go to bed at night, we have a tradition. We sit down in our living room, open my Bible. All of us read 5 verses apiece. Sometimes we'll sing. I have a guitar. My wife sometimes plays the piano. We're going to share some prayer requests with each other. We're going to pray, and then we give each other a hug, and we go to bed. When I'm preaching in meetings, we don't always do that. And I told her, I said, you know what? Trisha's leaving home in 3 weeks. We're going to have to be intentional about doing this while we're on the road as well. We need to spend this time together, you and me, reading God's word together, praying together. Because watch this, okay? And I'm talking now to the grandparents here. If you're not used to doing that, you and your wife, without your kids at home, when they come in because you've gotten out of practice, you won't think about it, and you won't do it. But if this is a habit that you do every day, no matter who's there, well, then somebody comes for a visit. At our home, someone comes for a visit. I mean, Elsie's been in our home. She knows what it's like. When we go to bed at night, we have devotions. She's had devotions with us before. Why do we do that? We want the Word of God to sink down into their hearts. We want them to know the Bible. We do a lot of things. Sometimes we memorize Scripture. We read Scripture. We've memorized several passages together. Sometimes for devotions, we'll quote one of those passages that we've memorized as a family. My wife is, she loves to write music, and so she's written all kinds of choruses that are based off of Bible verses. I think last time I checked, it was like 30 or 40 of them that she's written. And so as the children were younger, we would sing those, and one after another, we'd sing. And you can get some good children's choruses, and you can learn those as a family. Spend time with your children around the Word of God every single day. And so I'd like to talk to you about how you as a parent, maybe if you're the dad, I hope you'll be the one in charge of this. I think it's always best when the dad will take the lead on this. But if you're a single mom, listen, don't let this be an excuse. You take that lead, lady. Please go ahead and do that. And let this be a role that maybe you say, you know, this wasn't the way I intended, but, you know, I need to do this. You see, here in this passage, it says in verse number 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." And so I'm going to give you 5 simple principles regarding family devotions that will help you to make them memorable. Number 1, Be consistent. Be consistent. Do it every day. Do it every single day. Now, when we start, normally, we're going to start by reading the Bible. And we're going to take a passage. And as a matter of fact, I can even tell you exactly where we are because I keep it here on my phone. I have a note. And the next verse that we will read as a family is Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse number 4. And so that's where we'll start. Next, I keep a note, a reminder here. I update it after every time we have devotions. That way, I'm following along. I know where we're reading that night. We've read through the entire Bible already as a family. We started out in Matthew, read to Revelation, started again in Genesis, went to Malachi, started again in Matthew, finished to Revelation, went back to Genesis. Now we're in Deuteronomy chapter number 25. And we're just going to keep on going. And the reason that we do this is because we want to be consistent in helping our kids. Our kids, while they were at home, heard every verse of Scripture read out loud to them before they left our home. I think every child needs to hear the entire Word of God. There's something to be said about that. And so be consistent. But let me explain something on that, all right? Because I know what some of you are thinking. Brother Bill, you know, we don't really have an hour and a half that we can dedicate to this every night. I have not said you need to spend an hour and a half on this. Now, there were times where, and there still are, times where we'll read a passage and we'll get to talking about it, and we'll talk about that passage for half an hour or more. That does happen. But that's not all the time. Sometimes when the kids have been sick, our devotions last about 45 seconds. Yeah. Okay? Hey, guys, we're going to quote John 3:16. Dad's going to pray. We're going to bed. So-and-so's not feeling well. I think it's important to be consistent. Here's the point. All right? So let's put this in the aspect of nutrition. Would you not agree with me that if you don't have time to sit down and eat prime rib and scalloped potatoes and broccoli and fresh homemade yeast rolls and gravy, you don't have time to sit down and eat, you know, a salad and a full nice meal like that, all you've got time for is a carrot stick, it's still better to go ahead and eat a carrot stick just because that keeps something in you. The same thing is true with devotions. Some of your devotions may be carrot stick devotions. Not a lot to it, but it was something. And if I can say it, this way, something's better than nothing. Okay? If you get home and the entire family, I mean, you're just exhausted because you've had a long day. You've been working hard. And fact is, you don't feel up to spending several minutes. Do something. Pray together. Read a verse together. Do something. But don't drop it. Don't just leave it. Do something. Now, there will be times where that you're going to feel great. And, I mean, maybe, you know, your kids have these amazing questions about the passage you just read. And God's going to open up a door. And all of a sudden, you realize that, wow, you know, the kids really enjoyed that tonight. That was really awesome. But the important thing is to just be consistent. Be consistent. Do it every single day. Now, when I say consistent, you need to find a time that's best for you. Every family's different. All right, in our family's case, our family does better with devotions at night. All right, I have a friend who has devotions at 6 o'clock in the morning. All of his kids wake up early. They wake up very early. They're all early risers. He's an early riser. They have devotions at 6 and breakfast at 6:30. Now, Brother John can tell you, I'm not an early riser. Amen, Brother John? Yeah, I mean, he can tell you. Normally, I come dragging out about what time, Brother John? 9-ish. All right. Now, I can stay up all night, okay? But that early morning stuff, that's not me. I'm not an early bird. You know, the early bird catches the worm. I've never liked worms. I'm not an early bird. So for us, for my family, devotions at night, that's what works best. Do what works for your family. Maybe your best time together is at noon. I mean, I don't know why, but anyway, I don't think that would work for most of you because you're off at work. Whatever time is best, that's when you should do it. Yeah. When it's a good time for your family, but be consistent. Number two, be contextual. Be contextual. Now, what do I mean by that? Be applicable to whatever stage of life that they're in, okay? So when your kids are 3 months old, now, children, this is the night when we will be speaking about apologetics. No, not when they're 3 months old, okay? Don't go through the doctrine of, you know, Trinitarian ecclesiology or something like that. Probably ought to leave that for, you know, when they get up a little bit older. But my point is to be applicable. So when our children were really little, they learned verses, okay? Sometimes the verse was just a little tiny verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, you know, that's just half of a verse, but that's what they learned. And so that's what they would say. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, yay. You know, they said their verse. But whatever it is, depending on their stage in life, sometimes just sing. Okay, now you can sing with a little baby that's only a few weeks old. You can sing. Talk about what you've read. Okay, or the verse that was just quoted. Talk about that verse. You might want to memorize a verse as a family. Memorize a passage as a family. As a family, we've memorized Psalm 23, Psalm 1, Psalm 100, Psalm 121. We've memorized several passages together. And sometimes we'll just take a night and we'll review that passage and quote it together as a family. I highly encourage you to do that. Take time to pray. There's always something to pray about. Okay, I remember when Tricia, our youngest daughter, was just a little tiny girl, she would always pray, always, every single night, "Dear Jesus, please bless Sophia and Natalie and the unspoken prayer request. In Jesus' name, amen." Her teacher at school, it was a Christian school, she was in a pre-KK, I guess it was. She had an unspoken prayer request, and she would always tell the children to pray for the unspoken prayer request. Natalie was a little girl who had been abducted. She was kidnapped, and nobody knew where she'd gone. And Sophia was a little girl whose mom was afflicted in a wheelchair, and Child Protection Services was thinking about taking her away from her mom. And so they were praying, and Sophia was in the class, and they were praying that Sophia wouldn't be taken away, or something along that line. So every night, I mean, it was the exact same words. "Dear Jesus, please bless Sophia and Natalie and the unspoken prayer request. In Jesus' name, amen." That was her prayer for 3 years. I remember we went to this church in Wyoming. And that Wednesday night, the pastor said, "Now, how many of you have an unspoken prayer request?" And all kinds of people raised their hand. We went back to the hotel where we were staying that night after church, and Tricia said, "Daddy, I need to talk to you." I said, "Sure, Trish, what's going on?" She said, "Daddy, we need to pray for this unspoken prayer request." I said, yeah. I said, "But why is that?" She said, "Dad, it seems like it's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. Nobody seems to know what it is." So make it applicable, but, you know, be contextual. Apply to what's going on in life, all right? So let's imagine that a kid, you know, was mean to your child at school. That would probably be a good night to use a verse like, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That'd be a great night to use that verse and say, okay, what does it mean to forgive someone? What does it mean to be kind? What does it mean to love one another? What does that mean? How does that work out? Well, I guess I need to forgive them. I don't want to. I want to hit them. Let your kids be honest, of course. But make it contextual to what's going on in their life. Number three, be communicative. So let your children understand very clearly what it is you're trying to teach. They need to understand. Communicate clearly what you're saying. If I could say this, don't use big words trying to impress them. Okay, now if you're going to preach here at your church and you want to impress Pastor Dean, I understand that. Yeah. But in your home, just make it real simple. Put it down on the bottom shelf where everybody can understand it, okay? Make it really, really simple so that every child there understands, "Daddy was teaching us today about forgiving. And I didn't want to forgive, but the Bible says that to not forgive is sin. Oh, I need to forgive." Let your children know that devotions are awesome. but they're not an option. They need to be fun. Make them fun. Matter of fact, I'm just going to be honest, I tried to go by a store on my way here tonight, and I thought I knew where a store was, and I didn't get to that store, and so I just went ahead and came. But I was going to buy some candy, and I was going to throw it out, okay? That's the kind of thing you can do for family devotions to make it happy, you know? Put a candy bar under one of the chairs that you know that they're going to be sitting on, and only one, okay? Only one. All right, guys, let's see who got the candy bar tonight, you know, and oh, there's a candy bar on my chair, you know, and the other's like, I didn't get a candy bar. Yeah, well, maybe next time, you know, but make it so they remember what happened, you know, that it will be a memorable time, something that they'll say, oh, yeah, wow, Mom, y'all should get candy bars. Let them know that that's a wonderful time, that you're excited. By the way, if you come to devotions and you say, well, kids, I guess we got to read the Bible. The preacher said we got to read the Bible. I have no idea what we're going to read tonight. I guess, I don't know. Well, let's see here. I guess we'll go to the book of Psalms. I don't know. Your kids are not going to think that's fun, okay? You wouldn't think it was fun. But if you're excited about it and you have, you know, clearly communicated to them what you're trying to teach, and so as a teacher, one thing that I've learned is I like to tell people what I'm going to teach them, then I like to teach it, and then I need to ask them, did you understand what I said, and then tell me what I just taught. And if you'll do that with your kids, tell them what you're going to teach them, then teach it to them, then ask them to tell you what you've just taught to them, if they can tell you, then you've done a good job. Otherwise, you may have to go back to the beginning again, okay? But make sure that there's a communication there. Let your family know what your goals are. I remember when I first told our kids we were going to memorize Psalm 100, and I think it was Psalm 121 was one of the first ones we memorized, or maybe Psalm 23, I don't remember. But it was one of the first Psalms, and they were like, oh, whole chapter, oh my goodness. You know, they'd learned verses before. And I said, no, this is going to be fun. I said, because we're going to be able to quote the entire psalm together. They're like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, sure. And then I said, and whoever memorizes Psalm 23, once you've memorized it that first night, you're going to get ice cream. Oh, yeah, let's memorize Psalm 119, okay? I mean, we can do this. But they need to understand what's expected of them. So be communicative. Number four. Some of you will do better at this than others. But number four, be creative. Be creative. So sometimes when my kids were little, and I may have done this once when the Dean kids were over, I don't remember exactly, but I've done this several times. We'll turn off all the lights, and I'll get a single flashlight and a single Bible, and we'll have what I call, okay, please don't be offended if you're Russian, I call it Russian-style devotions. Okay, where it's a single flashlight, a single Bible, and we're whispering. And so we whisper when we sing, and we whisper when we read the Bible, and we pass the Bible around with the flashlight, and they have to whisper the whole time, and those kids don't forget it. Now, I know not all churches in Russia have to do that. I get it, I really do. Okay, I'm not trying to be, you know, judgmental or racist or anything like that, but do some fun things like that, okay? Try to have Chinese-style devotions. What does that mean? I don't know. Feed them some Chinese food before devotions or whatever. Have some themed nights, okay? I remember when on one time, I don't remember exactly how this worked out, but anyway, we had like some Hawaiian themed things for devotions that night. And we've had prizes for accomplishments. Sometimes we would, you know, have a prize for whoever could find the verse the fastest. And I don't know if you've ever done a sword drill. Anybody here ever done a sword drill before? All right. And, you know, you're trying to be the first one to open it up. And I can see some of you would probably be really good at that. But try to do things that are fun. Now, some of you, as I mentioned before, your grandparents, maybe you didn't do some of these things with your own kids, But the next time you have your grandparents over, say, hey, kids, we're going to do something tonight which is called devotions. And we're gonna read the Bible together, and we're going to do some fun things, you know, depending on their age, okay? You know, if they're little tiny kids, you do it one way. If they're older kids, you do it a different way. But try to do some things that will be fun for them, creative. I have a brother-in-law, and for a long time, he thought devotions needed to be a one-hour, actually, my brother-in-law, Mike, you know him, he thought devotions needed to be a one-hour exposition of the Scripture. And I said, Mike, you know, your kids are all falling asleep. And I said, do you mind if I do devotions one night at your home? He's like, oh, man, I'd be honored. And so we finished in like 7 minutes. And his kids were like, man, that was the greatest ever. Yeah. That was awesome, you know. We sang, we memorized some scripture, talked about the verse. And they were like, Dad, that was so cool, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But my point is, you know, please do what you can to let kids be excited about the things of God. The things of God should not be something that we go, oh, man, I got to do this. I have to go to church again tonight. I'm not looking forward to this. If you say that on the way to church, they've already turned me off, or they've turned off Pastor Dean before they walk in the door. Okay, so that's why it's important to create this excitement. Let them know you're happy that you get to do this, and then they'll be happy about it. All right, number five, be caring and compassionate. Be caring and compassionate. You know, if a member of your family is sick, and maybe they just really don't feel like being there, okay, let them go to bed, rest of the family. Sometimes we've had whispered devotions. My wife has migraine headaches from time to time. We've had whispered devotions. Hey, your mom's not feeling well. We need to pray for your mom. You know, so we all whisper a prayer for mom, read some scriptures. We are not going to sing out loud, you know, glory, glory, hallelujah, because that's going to make her migraine even worse. If a family member is traveling, have prayer for that family member, but don't stop having devotions just because they're gone. Right, so when I'm gone, we had family. My wife does family devotions. When my wife this last week was traveling, my daughter and I, we had family devotions at home. And so, you know, it was just the two of us, but it was awesome. And Trisha and I were talking about different things in the Bible. It was awesome. So just be very caring, be very compassionate. Kids, if they're allowed to learn, they love it. Most children I know, you teach them something fun, they're so excited to get to learn those things. And then when it's about God's Word, oh, that's the best. So we're going to take about 4 minutes, and we're going to have devotions together. Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 23. The Bible says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Somebody tell me what that means to you. Just real quick, just take like 10 seconds. You go over 10 seconds, I'm going to stop you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean to you? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's right. Somebody else? Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's right. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. Pardon me? The Lord is all I need. Very good. Anyone else? Yes. He's watching over us. Anybody else? Lord is my shepherd. Yes. He satisfies. All right. The next person has to be under 10 years of age. And if you're 10 years of age and you're the next one, I've got something for you. All right. So who's going to say it? What does it mean to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? You have to be under 10. Yes?
I'm 12.
Pardon me?
12.
You're 12? Sorry, buddy. Got to be under 10. I got something else for you. You got something? Yes.
He's watching over you.
He's watching over us. Come up here. Come up here real fast. All right, that's for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can go back. All righty. If you're 12, what does it mean that God is your shepherd? I shall not want. What does that mean to you?
That like he's like your body.
That's right. That's right. Come up here. I'm going to show you something. And then I'm going to give it to you. All right, so this is something you're going to have to practice at home, okay? Take your, I'm going to give this quarter to you, okay? This is a very fast quarter. You ever seen a fast quarter before?
No.
All right, watch this. It's going to move so fast you're going to hardly see it. You ready? It's right here. You got to practice that at home, okay? All right, I want to see that tomorrow, okay? I want to see it that fast. All right, my wife and I sing a song. It goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll walk with him always. Sing it with me if you know it. He leads by still waters. I'll walk with him always. Always, always. I'll walk with him always. Always, always. I'll walk with him always. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for being the one to whom we can pray and know that you will answer our prayers. And Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to learn more about how we can, as families, study more about your word, spend time together around your word, Lord. And I pray that you would use this in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That was exactly 4 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
Pastor Dean.